some films, the special ones, can stir up more questions than they answer. And that's often the case with the work of director Olivier Assayas. His latest, Clouds of Sils Maria, stars Juliette Binoche as an actress who's struggling with a part that's especially challenging for her at a difficult time in her life. And I'm very pleased that it brings both Olivier Assayas and Juliette Binoche back to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How many films have you made together?
Two.
Two?
I thought there were more, three or four. Well...
Well, we were involved in Rendezvous, but that was a long time ago.
That's, and
I was a co-writer. And Summer Hours.
And Summer Hours.
So this is the third one.
Yeah. Well,
do you every so often just think, hey, let's do something together again?
I think maybe in future we'll say that more often, right? We'll see.
Olivia, you wrote in the press notes that this was a story that had been waiting to exist for a long time. In what way and for how long?
I think that for some reason, you know, we have been trying to make movies together for a long time. We ended up doing Summer Hours, which was more of an ensemble piece, ultimately frustrating for both of us. So, you know, it's...
Frustrating
it's,
why?
Frustrating because it was too short. You know, you don't wait...
Because it's
like,
a wonderful film.
It, no, I mean, we loved doing it, but it was frustrating in the sense that, you know, Juliette was only one of many characters and, you know, you don't wait like 20 years and then end up shooting for 10, 15 days or something. You know, we wanted something bigger. And we kind of knew that it had to happen in a way or another, but it's really Juliette who put it in so many words.
Well, looking at your last three films, they're all so different. Carlos, big epic film. Then there was Something in the Air, a kind of a modern history film. Mm. And then this, which is a character study. Mm. You don't want to get stuck in one kind of... you don't want to get pigeonholed?
I'm interested in looking at the world in its complexity, and you know, I think that in my opinion, in the way I look at the world, you have Carlos, you have
a revolutionary,
you have actors, you have, I mean, you have the whole range of humanity, and it's to me, filmmaking is about exploring the world. It's about doing things that you have not done before, diving into areas where you had not had the opportunity of diving. So, you know, it's, to me, there's one very complex totality, which is the world in its many layers, including historical, and I feel like I'm moving around it. I'm moving my camera around it and positioning my camera in different angles.
And Juliette, when you're looking at roles that are offered to you, are you always interested in doing something you've never done before?
Well, that's a very essential question, is asking yourself, what is the new to me? What does it mean? And where can I risk myself? Where do I not know? Because repeating yourself is never interesting. And so when a director comes to you with a role you never thought of, or when you're going to a director having an idea but you don't know yet, you know, how it's going to transform, then it's more exciting.
And this film is to some degree about an actor, an actress, you, who isn't sure she wants to take on a role.
Well, she says yes out of, you know, love for the past, because she's worked with this director before. And also it's very hard to say no sometimes. So it's saying yes, it's reassuring. And then she sees, after she said yes, while starting to work with it, that it's a big no to her because she has to go to emotions that are unbearable for her.
What was the germ of this film for you?
It was movies happen by the combination of different elements, you know. So I think that I really started with Juliette. I started with the idea of offering to Juliette a part that she had done before, not done before, which was basically about recreating someone very similar to her, you know, playing with her own image, playing with her fame, and using her identity as a dramatic liturgic tool within the film. So that is really what inspired the film. But then, of course, the fact that we have known each other for so long, it implies that what we are going to do together has to do with time, has to do with looking back, has to do with our experience of becoming through the process of aging, I suppose, different individuals.
And I've seen other situations like this where an actor, when he or she was young, played the young role, and then years later was asked to play the older role or even play his own parent. Mm-hmm. And was that something that was there from the start for you?
Yes. Yes, absolutely, because it was really the way of embodying the passage of time. You know, it was interesting for me to have the possibility of really of Juliet having a dialogue with like her former self. Her former self being, you know, the character in Rendezvous, this André Téchiné movie, you know, where that you know, that was Juliet's first big part that made her famous. And she was playing an aspiring young woman who's an aspiring actress and who goes through the painful process of becoming an actress. So here I gave her the possibility of looking back on something that is part of her memories.
Hmm. Even though the first director was Téchiné and not SAS.
Right. What can I say?
Well, I mean, it just, in the end, I'm sure you do think back to who you were when you started and who you've become. And whether you are still the character, the person you were who was playing that earlier role, or if that role really fit you well, or if you have become somebody quite different.
It's difficult to have a view of, you know, who you are. You know who you are when you're facing out the world, when you're facing, you know, people or events that show you who you are. But otherwise, you feel you're the same. You're an entity that is always the same. There's a sense of immortality in each of us. And so we just, with a conflict, you know, of confrontation, let's say, of something different in front of you, then you can grow from it. And then you have some feelings of, you know, what you're made of.
In the earlier version of the play, your character has played Sigrid, a young, difficult person. And now you're being asked to play the older woman, Helena.
Well, the thing is, Sigrid has the power of seduction of youth, and she knows how to use it. And the other character, Helena, who is older, has the power because she's the chief, she's the head company, and she's going to lose everything because she falls in love with this young woman, and yet because this young woman is going to leave her, she's going to be alone and be abandoned. So the powers reverse. And so that was the interesting, you know, that how it works on you as an actor, because there are moments in before playing a scene, you know, you've got to go through your own you've got to go, you know, face yourself, and because the truth have to resonate from something very deep and that you've experienced somehow. So the for me, the passion of this film to make it, other than, you know, working with Olivier and being surrounded by wonderful actors, was to face my own demons and dreams and fears. And what I love about this film is that you see what it costs, you know, how much it costs for an artist to allow the abnegation, serving a story that is stronger, bigger than yourself, than your own experience. And that, I think, is very rare. I've never seen really in a film something being so, you know, clearly said and done.
And giving us insight into what actors go through when they're thinking about taking a role and playing a role. Olivia, did you always have in mind the location of Sils Maria, Switzerland?
Yes.
This is a place that Nietzsche loved.
It's a place that is inhabited by the ghosts of great writers, great artists of the 19th century, 20th century. Rilke, Anne-Marie Schwarzenbach, Segantini, the painter. It's,
Nietzsche.
You know, what?
Nietzsche.
Nietzsche. Yeah, no, he mentioned it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. you even hear. Have Nietzsche's house in Sils Maria. It's a very beautiful small house.
When you ask for directions, do they say, well, it's beyond good and evil?
No, but, you know, we were shooting very, very near a path they call Nietzsche's path. I mean, when they are swimming in the lake, it's really, you know, Nietzsche was there. what was important for this film is to have not a postcard landscape. We wanted a landscape that is inhabited by history and that is inhabited, you know, by also possibly some of the demons of the 20th century.
Well, tell us about the cloud phenomenon of Maloja and how perfect a metaphor it is for Juliet's character, Maria Anders. What's the story behind it? You found footage from 1924?
Yes. I go to Sils Maria once in a while because I love hiking and specifically in that. So I saw those clouds. I did not know they were important clouds, but I realized when I saw this short film by Arnold Funk. Arnold Funk is one of the pioneers of mountain photography. He was extremely talented. I mean, it's very interesting when you look at his work of the 20s. But also he became also the director of the Leni Riefenstahl mountain movies. You know, Leni Riefenstahl was first an actress, and she was famous for those movies set in the Alps, directed by Arnold Funk. And then both of them kind of, you know, evolved politically in pretty nasty areas. So what I am saying is that it's... those ghosts are present in a film. You know, it's in the sense that what I was interested was in the idea that these mountains were filmed by this filmmaker who had this kind of romantic relationship to the landscape, sensitive to the beauty of it. But behind that, there was also things that were, resonating, that were extreme, that were certainly like the darkest... ideas.
Well, it is fascinating to watch those
time,
clouds
yes.
move in, and I'm sure that people have been fascinated.
Yes,
by
I mean,
and,
but
years.
they call those clouds a snake, which implies also the presence of evil. Mm.
The film also deals with the relationship between Maria and her two cell phone wielding personal assistant, Valentine, played by Kristen Stewart to perfection. Lines can easily get blurred between stars and their assistants because there's such a vacuum around them. And in this case, the two of you are, especially when you're engaged in line reading, you're both, there's almost a power struggle.
Oh, definitely. Well, because... you know, living so close like this brings a lot of, friendship, but as well as, you know, go away, too much of my, in front of me and my mm-hmm. nose. Mm-hmm. I need my freedom. I need. So it brings a lot of different, you know, layers of emotions. And of course, in film, it's more interesting when you have a lot of conflicts than, you know, nice and smooth loving. You know, it's because you want to go through things. But definitely reading those lines, you know, and embodying those lines was fun to do because you'd never know when it's fiction mm-hmm. or reality and you go back and forth.
Yes.
And that was the game is, you know, when is it true or when it's not, you know, it's the play. But we had a lot of, you know, joy doing it, you know, and each take, each moment had to be like surprising to each other. So there was a game of, you know, tennis match in a way, you know. I give you this. How are you gonna, how are you gonna react to that? It was quite intense. But at the end of the day, it felt like we had well played together.
My guests are Juliette Binoche, who stars as Maria Anders in a new film from Olivier Assayas called Clouds of Sils Maria, and Maria is in a particularly vulnerable point in her life. Her marriage is crumbling. And the film starts out with her learning that the playwright responsible for her first success, this play we've been talking about, has just died. She's on her way to be part of a celebration of him. Now, wasn't Wilhelm Melchior a real-life playwright and more?
Well, Olivier, you wrote the script.
You're using real lines from a play?
No. It's, no. Wilhelm Melchior is an invention. But I had fun writing in the press kit, like a fake biography of Wilhelm Melchior.
And you made me believe it.
Yeah.
Because I thought, you know, because it's like the movie is also like a game, so I thought it should go on keep on echoing.
As a star, Julia, you must witness a lot of people trying to desperately hold on to their youth. How do you deal with it?
How do I deal
with it?
Well,
in this film, for example, you appear in some scenes in full movie star makeup, and then in others you don't have any makeup. Excuse me?
I prefer to see those films when they're well-lighted and well-made up, and the other ones are more difficult to take. But I think that's what I've got to go through, like anybody, you know, being an actor or not. It's still, you know, a journey. You know, you have to let go of some things. But at the same time, just don't forget, as you're maturing, you're gaining something. And we always forget about that. I think there's more freedom. There's more, you know, sense of, you know, being and being in, you know, being more aware of who you are and what kind of world you live in and how the values are changing, you know.
Well, you seem to have no qualms about doing a scene in the nude, whereas Kristen Stewart preferred not to.
I'm not sure it's exactly that, because I think it costs, as I said before, you know, to be naked in any sense, emotionally or physically. Just the thing is, you serve a story that is bigger than yourself. So it means that you're this abnegation. It's like putting yourself into a story. And for me, this Maria is not me, you know. It may be a representation of me. That's why Olivier thinks it's me. But I can be somebody else as well.
Mm. And so can Maria as an actress. Everybody winds up becoming other people in that world.
But for me, because Olivier wouldn't give indication of, you know, you do this or you do that. And that's his way of directing, which is very freeing for actors. There's a trust that's being, you know, set up in a way. And after that, you just go for it and see what happens. And take by take, it comes out that the scene takes its own fly in a way, and then you leave it. Mm. We both know that it's there somewhere. Mm. But as an actor, when, you know, Olivier said to Kristen and myself, it's just, you know, because we were asking, so do we take our clothes off or not? And say, do whatever you feel like. Mm. So my sense of, you know, Maria going through hell, going through having to, you know, face herself was to, okay, I'm facing myself and without any kind of retaining or hiding.
Just one other thing. The film is mostly in English.
Yes.
We have two French people here. And
yes, but you have two French people who have both been working on the borders of French cinema. I mean, we've both been trying to keep alive our relationship with our country and trying also to see what happens abroad. I mean, you know, I think one of the beauty of modern filmmaking is that you can travel, you can be open to the rest of the world, and I think it would be extremely frustrating to remain within the borders of France. So really what we have in common is that, you know, we have always been interested in communicating with not just the filmmakers, but also the audience, the international audiences. I think it's really what makes filmmaking exciting, you know, that you can have a dialogue with people from other cultures, from other countries. And the English language gives you that, you know. It's and also in a film like this, I think it kind of broadens the perspective. If we had been dealing with a French actress who is working on a French play in Paris, you know, somewhere in the countryside in France, I think it would have just reduced the scope of this film.
Also, it's the international language, and we are in Germany as well, dealing with, you know, German actors. When I meet a German actor, we usually speak English.
Yeah.
It allowed you to have your conversations with Kristen Stewart and also with Chloe Grace Moretz, who plays a really interesting part in this story. You have an upcoming film called The Waiting?
Yes, I just shot The Waiting last August.
You say it led to a rebirth, one way.
What's that?
Didn't you say it's led to a kind of a rebirth for you?
Yes, in a way, because just before starting shooting, I was absolutely lost, and I didn't know how I was going to play this part. And I had to let go of something of the past, I have to say, a way of acting or going into the sort of painful areas, I would say. And so this film allowed me to play in another way, and it's frightening when something new, because you don't know exactly what it is yet, and it's just, you know, living it and facing your fear that it may change. And I had a director who did understand that in a way. So he was very patient, even though it was his first film, his first feature film. So it was a kind of a birth, but at the same time, you know, you always doubt yourself. You feel something, but...
Even now, after all these years?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because it's never gain, and there's nothing to gain, in a way. You know, it's just it being true to the moment and re-putting yourself into a place where you don't know the path yet.
And, Olivier, I hear that you're doing a Chicago crime story featuring Robert De Niro and Rachel Weisz?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, you know, this is more like... the after Carlos. Mm-hmm. You know, I make girls' films, but once in a while I enjoy making boys' films.
And I thank you both the boy and the girl here, Olivier Assayas, who wrote and directed Clouds of Sils Maria, and Juliette Binoche, who stars in it, for coming on our show again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.